We're going to read now from, well, I'm going to read now from 1 Corinthians 16, would you believe? Verses 1 to 24. So if you're reading from the Pew Bibles, it's page 1157. Now about the collection for God's people. Do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Then, when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve and send them with your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable for me to go also, they will accompany me. After I go through Macedonia, I will come to you, for I will be going through Macedonia. Perhaps I will stay with you a while or even spend the winter, so that you can help me on my journey wherever I go. I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. If Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear while he is with you, for he is carrying on the work of the Lord just as I am. No one then should refuse to accept him. Send him on his way in peace, so that he may return to me. I am expecting him along with the brothers. Now about our brother Apollos. I strongly urged him to go with you, with the brothers. He was quite unwilling to go now, but he will go when he has the opportunity. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. Do everything in love. You know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. I urge you, brothers, to submit to such as these and to everyone who joins in the work and labours at it. I was glad when Stephanas, Fortunatus and Archaicus arrived, because they have supplied what was lacking from you, for they refreshed my spirit and yours also. Such men deserve recognition. The churches in the province of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord, and so does the church that meets in their house. All the brothers here send you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. If anyone does not love the Lord, a curse be on him. Come, O Lord. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love to all of you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Okay, so Chris is now going to come and talk to us about the vision. If anybody wants to go out for Sunday Club as well, now is the time to do that. We'll take a bit of problem.
Bear with me a minute, just get myself wired up. So, good morning, welcome. Hope you have a great time out there in Sunday Club. So, I wanted to start by thinking about last year's year text, and just briefly to go back to last week. Wasn't it great to Thanksgiving last week? Yes, Chris, it was. Yeah. Great to hear what the Lord's been doing in your lives, to hear something about the testimonies of what God's doing. It could have gone on and on, couldn't it? I'm sure there were more people that wanted to share what God had done in their lives, but we just ran out of time. Somebody said to me afterwards, you know, why don't we just go on for longer? Well, some weeks now we don't have people to do Sunday club, so the children are in the service with us. So we just have to be, you know, a bit generous to them and their parents to make the service a little bit shorter when they're in with us. Because whilst we're saying more, they're saying less. So that's why, just in case you were wondering. So last year we thought about not growing weary, but carrying on doing good so that we reap that harvest at the proper time. And I always look back and see what I said in the previous year's vision service. So I was looking forward last year to a baptism, only one at the time, holiday at home, Alpha, Film Fridays, and developing youth through Mission Academy Live. I talked about my dream for our small groups growing, more release of the gifts of the Spirit, more healings, more insight and discernment, more gifts for faith and miracles, a growth in love for each other and a devotion to the Lord. And I spoke about my prayer for more families, but also for the lonely that God wants to set in families. I prayed about new believers coming and for continued growth for all ages. And we look forward to some practical things. We look forward to getting the notice boards done and the lighting and the sound dampening finished. Well, not all those things have happened. Surprise, surprise, not all the things that I want necessarily come about. But we have seen healings and we have seen baptisms and we've seen new people coming. And the notice boards have been refurbished. Hooray! The listed buildings permission has now been given for the other works to be completed. So we're really close to getting those practical things done. Three particular highlights for me over the year are Kath taking on the role of pastoral visitors coordinator. That's great to see her stepping up and taking that responsibility, and she's taking that role really well. Andrew taking on the youth work and leading that. And he's just taking to it like a duck to water, and he's really doing an excellent job there. Sally taking on the responsibility for the ladies' meetings, drawing them together and leading them forwards. I'm also grateful to Paul, who served as treasurer in the last year, and Trevor, who's carried on being our church secretary. It's really great as a pastor to know that you know, these people have put their shoulder to the wheel, and they're pushing the church forwards in this time as well. So we're grateful for that. As I mentioned last week, we're saddened by the loss of Ellen Willey, who'd, some of you won't even have met her because latterly she was in care. But she'd been here a long time as a long-standing member of the church. And we lost Michael Evans. Jean Fuller's funeral was held here and Margaret Wright. I think the thing that I'm most excited about when I look back is the people that have come to church for the first time or have come back after a long time. That's a real encouragement to see the fulfillment of that word that God promised, that if we don't grow weary, we will see a harvest. It's the beginning of a harvest in evangelism and spiritual growth. So as we move into 2019, what are the sort of standing orders for this year? You know, Anthony said, you know, at the beginning of the year, you sort of hear the verse and think, well, I don't quite get that. But as you go on through the year, you sort of see why God said that. So what are the standing orders for this year? Vision for this year. What are God's hopes and dreams? Well, as elders and leaders, we ask for suggestions of what the year text might be, and we received several, and then we reflected on those, and one stood out, and as you know, it was this one. Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. Well, I talked about standing orders, and this really does feel like a set of orders. Five bullet points from God, each one in the form of a command. The technical word is they're in the imperative. Now, as I was thinking and praying about this during the week, I'm not quite sure what the tone is. A couple of imperatives came to my mind. One was, brace, brace, brace! Do you know when they say that? When the plane's about to crash. And it's just very short commands. Do it now. Don't have a think about what does brace mean and interpret the underlying meaning and then talk to your neighbour about what bracing might entail and how you feel about that. Just do it now. It's an imperative command. Do it now. And the other is hold tight. Hold tight. When a bus starts moving and you're standing up, and the conductor says, hold tight, because otherwise you'll be flat on your bottom. And I think it's more the latter, I think. If you get a prophetic word, it's the former, tell me. What's clear is if we carry on going on the trajectory that we're going right now, things will change dramatically. Because every year, we all get a year older. And if unless we have younger people joining us, then it will be brace, brace, brace. So we know a big change is coming. Some of the changes that we look forward to in the year we can plan for. Some of them are not of our making. They're thrust upon us. But these are the words that God speaks into this time. And therefore, whilst Paul wrote these words 2,000 years ago to the people of Corinth, God, by his Spirit, takes the words for us today. And we need to hear them speaking into our context. Why is God speaking these words at this time? Clearly, it's important that we hear them as commands. They're actually taken, Paul took them, from what a commanding officer might say to a soldier who's standing on duty. And I'm told that they form an ascending scale. The first one, be on your guard, is basically just keep awake. I mean, that is like the basic requirement of a guard, isn't it? Just stay awake, you know. There's quite a lot of pictures online of security guards not staying awake. But it seems a bit like naming and shaming to put them up there. But basic requirement of any guard is to stay awake. Then it gets a little bit harder. Stand firm. That's basically know where your guard post is and don't move away from it. Don't wander off somewhere else. You might be awake, but somewhere else. Stay where you're put. Then be courageous, which is basically fighting if somebody comes against you. But go further than that. Be courageous, which is to go out heroically and to do the work beyond just holding your own ground, but drive the enemy back. So there's sort of an increasing level of commitment that's required. And Paul adds to those sort of military terms the one that he's been speaking about all the way through the letter. 1 Corinthians, of course, speaks about love all the way through. Do everything in love. I'm going to look at this verse in a bit more detail in a couple of weeks' time. For now, I just want to take one or two obvious things out of it. The first is, I don't really see in this verse that God's saying that we need to change a great deal. I might be wrong, but I don't get the sense that God's saying you need to change your attitude or you need to change direction of the church. Simply he's saying, be ready, be ready. And these verses speak about how we might be ready. Staying alert, preparing ourselves. It strikes me that they speak about what we should focus on, which is being. That God is more focused on what we are, what we be, if you like, bad grammar, rather than what we do. It's quite a lot about our heart attitudes in the midst of what's happening around us. So I take it that God's more focused on developing our character, refining our motives, than exactly what events we put on. Though obviously we do need to do things in order to move forwards. But the Holy Spirit will be working in and developing our character through everything that we do, in the midst of each activity and each change that we face. Everything that we undertake for the sake of the gospel, the Spirit will be involved in. Last year we were warned not to grow weary or to give up doing good. And this year we've got two warnings. Be on your guard, stand firm. And they're sort of like the brace, brace, or hold tight type commands. I don't think that that means that we should become inward looking or fearful. You know, that we should fear the future or fear the changes that are coming. With God, we can overcome. But we do need to be alert to what God's doing. The call to be courageous and strong rules out fear. I mean, they drive us forwards and outwards rather than bunkering down and waiting for the storm to pass. And the overarching command, which summarizes and gives insight to the meaning of all the others, is that we should do everything in love. And that's the message of the whole letter, to do everything in love. So this year, what's my dream for this year? Well, for growth in our young people and children's work. After the service, we're going to meet with the parents and youth and children's workers to talk about the way forwards, as Ray and Hazel lay down their role in leading Sunday Club. How are we going to lead that for the future? It's a change that's going to happen. How are we going to respond to that change? Hopefully these verses speak into how we should respond. I want us to be courageous in drawing more people into our services from the outreach activities that we do. But if we're not motivated to do that by love, then we're going to labour in vain. If we just want people's money or to fill the seats, that isn't going to work. We might fill the church, but unless the church is built through love, then we labour in vain. I hope to see a further outpouring of the Holy Spirit in signs and wonders, and to see the gifts of the Spirit more freely exercised, more healings, more insight and discernment, more gifts of faith for miracles. But if we don't do all of that out of a growing love for each other and devotion to the Lord, then they're empty, resounding gongs. I hope to see individuals being strong in leadership, but using their leadership to encourage and develop the gifts of others through love. I'm continuing to pray for more families and for God to set the lonely in families. But we must be on our guard and remain firm in our faith, so not giving ground on core issues to make ourselves more attractive to the world at this time. So what have we planned to try and help bring about those hopes and dreams? Well, as we were tidying up, I came across some communion cups, and they're from 1869. That's 150 years ago this year. They're a bit corroded and a bit tarnished and a bit sad looking now. But I guess 150 years ago, they bought them because of a change. They needed new communion cups. Something had changed in the congregation. Perhaps there were more people. Perhaps the old ones had been broken. Perhaps somebody felt that they needed something more suitable. 150 years later, they're no good. They're no good for communion. You wouldn't want them for communion. The change has happened. The change was responded to. And now we've had several changes since then. The church has changed a lot since then. In the coming year, we're going to face changes. Some we know about and some we do not. Some we plan for and work towards, and some just come upon us. So, there's this lovely looking young man. Look at that. Gorgeous. For those of you listening online, this is James. And James has completed, well, in addition to many years in leadership, he's completed 9 years in eldership. And our constitution, therefore, requires him to step down for a year to take sabbatical. And he won't be eligible to be renominated again as an elder this year. Well, James, I can say this because he's not in. James helped the church through its search for a minister. And he was a huge help to us as a leadership team when I first arrived. He's going to be really greatly missed. I always say he carries the sort of spirit of the church. He's been here for so long that he knows. I'm sure if you cut him inside, it does say Burwell Baptist Church all the way through. He's got a real heart for the church, and he's the person that we go to and say, well, how's it done here? And he might well say, well, it used to be done like this, but we can do it different. Anthony's been great, and we're going to really miss him. Sorry, Anthony. Anthony has been great. You come up later. James has been great. We're going to really miss him. How quickly we forget. Nevertheless, I think this idea of compulsory sabbaticals is a good one because it ensures that individuals are given time to be refreshed. It's really hard to step down from a role you've been in for a long time. And it ensures that the church doesn't become over-reliant on one individual. So James' sabbatical gives the opportunity to give a fresh perspective into the leadership team. And to that end, we've nominated Susan Roberts to be considered for eldership at the next AGM. But sabbatical, in the sense we use it within church life, doesn't mean that you do nothing. I think Karen and Maureen have both demonstrated that very clearly. They've been involved in lots of things, even though they've not been on the leadership team. There are ways of serving the church that don't involve being on the leadership team. You never take a sabbatical from serving the Lord. So James will be working with Anthony, that's where you come in, to develop the men's work and to build up the men's work during the coming year. He's also treasurer with Churches Together and leads the Sunday Club. So all in all, I don't think he's going to be going off on holiday to the Caribbean very often. So one thing we know is going to change is the leadership team. It will change because James won't be there. That's going to change the dynamics. God willing, Susan will be there, and that will change the dynamics again in another way. Some are going to have changed circumstances in the coming year. It's been great to see that Sally and Tony have both retired, and therefore they have a little bit more time, and they're increasingly using their gifts in evangelism, and I'm excited to think about how God might use them now they've got a bit more time on their hands. Amanda's taken a role at Youth for Christ, a big change in her life, and I think an encouragement to us for the fellowship, and it's great to see her growing through that change. I did think about, when we were talking about the Roman soldier, I could have used that picture of you, but I thought I'd let you off that one. So there are some changes that we plan for and seek to bring about, and others that we have less control over. In all these changes, God is committed to our transformation. So change gives an opportunity for transformation. Repentance, metanoia, means a change of mind. God's for repentance. It's a big thing on God's agenda. Change of mind. He's also for metamorphosis. That's the word that we use about butterflies. But God uses it about us. He's for our transformation. We're transformed as the Spirit renews our minds through repentance. And one day the whole of creation will be transformed. So I don't think that God's calling us to take our guard and stand firm against change. Nothing changes here. No, I don't think that's what God's calling us to do. I think he's calling us to embrace change. Transformation requires change. So we're planning a church away day. That's for everyone, not just leaders, for the whole church, to help us think about transformation. What else are we doing? Well, we're going to carry on trying to put these stepping stones in place so that people from outside the church can come in. It's increasingly difficult for somebody that doesn't know church, hasn't been brought up in church, to just walk into a Sunday morning service. And we have to put in place things that enable them to get to hear the gospel and to respond to the gospel. So what sort of things do we do? Well, we do holiday at home events. The next one happens to be a trip to Emmaus, which is not the place in Israel, but a place for the homeless near Cambridge. We do tea dances and invite people to come in from those events. We then invite them into things like the men's breakfasts and into reflections. So these are stepping stones from those that just come along to something social, get to know us, hear a little bit of the gospel in those activities, and then invited to come deeper, to learn more. In the same way, we plan to use Fuse Cafe, which is a work with Youth for Christ, to reach out to children that are outside the church, give church children opportunity to invite their friends to something that they can do that's fun. And we're going to be doing that three times during the summer months here in Burwell. And through that, we can then invite them into church groups, including Gravity. Andrew's going to be using materials from Test of Faith, which help young people to engage with science and to understand that science and faith are not contradictory. It's a big thing for them as they go into their secondary school teaching. Outreach through farmers' markets and assemblies and the carnival and maybe the community choir again. These ways give opportunities. Oh, that's interesting. It's decided to move on itself. Okay, it's obviously telling me to hurry up. I thought there was one there about Holiday Club, but it's got lost somewhere. But we are... Did it go click, click? Did it? Did it go behind my back? It always sneaky, isn't it? So the idea again with Holiday Club is... that we put that on to invite children in from school through the assemblies, and then from that we can invite them into Good News Club and on through into the various youth activities. Thank you. So back to the outreach then, if it doesn't click on again. So we're going to continue to be bold in going out into the community. And when I say we, I mean all of us need to be bold in going out into the community. It's okay. It will probably stop there. Whether that's to serve in the farmers market or the carnival, or as individuals serving in town pastors or chaplains at the hospitals or helping at the day centre. These are all ways in which we reach out into our community. And then to keep inviting in to Sunday services, maybe special services and other social events, things like film nights, Science Sunday, and other invitation services that we do. This one is to remind me to say, if we're going to do this reaching out, we're going to need good Bible teaching. And I'm not saying that I do give great Bible teaching, but I'm saying we get good blocks of the Bible read and then we hear it expounded. That's really important because that gives us spiritual refreshment so that we can be on our guard spiritually and stand firm in the faith, understanding what our faith is. So we're going to go back to Mark's Gospel, continuing to dig deep into that. And then leading up to Easter, we're going to think about the resurrection so that when we come to Easter Day, we've got some understanding or deeper understanding of what resurrection means and what the power of that is through Jesus Christ. We're planning in our life groups, which meet on a Thursday night. If you'd like to come along, see me for details. We'll be talking about the impact that Jesus has had on our society and why that matters. We started this Thursday night. It was great. We had a really good, lively discussion, and I was really encouraged and strengthened by that. We carry on. We go out into the community. We meet in the pubs, not because we want to get drunk, but to be amongst people and to share our faith in that place, to talk to one another about our faith. It was suggested that we might ask one another how we became Christians and respond loudly in that place. It's just a way of making our faith connect with our outside lives rather than it being separated from it. So why not think about joining a group this year? Each study stands alone. So if you miss a week, it really doesn't matter. You can still pick up the following week. It still makes sense. So that's Thursday nights, and we meet at 8 o'clock. But I want to come back to our year text. In all these activities, will you allow the Holy Spirit to ask you whether you have kept alert, whether you've stood your ground in the faith, whether you've been courageous? Are you being strong? Have you done everything in love? I think if we hear these commands as questions to us, as we reflect through the year using those verses, we're going to go deeper and deeper into what God wants for us as a church. So I'd encourage you to do that in the coming year. Hopefully, by the end of the year, this is quite an easy one to learn, so we'll have it in our prayer times and we'll be able to remember it as we're praying and thinking about what we're doing. So how do we start off? Well, next week we got a unity service with our brothers and sisters from the other congregations in Burwell. And the theme of that is going to be justice. And the offering is going to go to Christian Solidarity Worldwide, which happens to be the mission of the month. Ties together nicely. And Tony's done a lovely display, which is on the mission notice board. If you want to know more about Christian Solidarity Worldwide, please have a look at that. The reason I'm telling you about the offering now is if you're like me and give your tithes and offerings through your bank account, you may not come with any money. So I'm telling you in advance that next week there will be a free will offering for Christian Solidarity Worldwide. Bring your checkbook, bring your wallet, bring the gold bars from under the mattress, or however you want to bring it. Some of you will know that Mervyn, who helps to lead CSW, was recognised in the honours list this year. And he's now a Knight Commander of the St. Michael and St. George. Yeah, so there you go. Even the Queen has recognised the good work of CSW. So do support that work. Let's pray together before we move on. So, Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that we need fear nothing when you are in our lives. For you have conquered death. What else can we be afraid of? We thank you, Lord, that as we look ahead into this year, you, by your Holy Spirit, know what's going to come. And you will prepare us for it. We thank you for these words. We ask that we would take them to heart. Hear them clearly and respond to what you've said. Give us vision for this year as individuals. Help those that are already going out into the community. Give them power and strength and give them fruitfulness in all that they do. Help us to work as a body with each part working to its strength. And we ask, Lord, that you would do the work that we cannot. Lord, for the seed is fed and watered by your almighty hand. It is you that makes your church grow. Amen.